Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 13. Psalm 13, we'll read all six verses, and we'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6, and again, we'll read this passage responsively. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Holy Spirit of God, please do that which only you can do. Lord, someday, those of us that are saved will leave this earth and awake in your likeness and be able to serve you without sin. And now we can't. Therefore, we need the preaching. We need the preacher. We need the Word of God to do its work in our hearts and our lives. So please do it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I have given the title to this morning's sermon. That title is Feeling Forever Forgotten. Feeling Forever Forgotten. You say, Brother Owens, who would feel forever forgotten? Well, the kinds of people that might need a sermon such as this. I could picture a missionary out on a distant field thinking that everybody had forgotten about them. I could picture a prisoner, though, having done wrong behind bars. I could picture them feeling forever forgotten. I could picture a widow who has lost her husband feeling forgotten, or a widower. I could find someone who maybe personally faces a long-term illness feeling forever forgotten. I could find it maybe a mother who has been forsaken by her husband and left to rear the children all alone. I could picture her feeling at times forever forgotten. I could picture a pastor and his wife maybe in some small town in America where there's not much attention and not much excitement, and them in the privacy of their home and hearts feeling ever forgotten. I could picture an Elijah under a juniper tree by a brook feeling forever forgotten. I could picture somebody that's in a long-term battle. You pick the battle, whatever the battle may be, that long-term part of it, them beginning to feel in their hearts and in their minds ever forgotten. Maybe someone who has sinned and it has made their life dark, and somehow that dilemma in which they have placed themselves makes them feel forever forgotten. I think somebody that possibly has faced long-term illness, or maybe somebody who has taken care of someone who has faced a long-term illness, would begin to feel forever forgotten. Maybe someone who has given the devil the reins of their attitude or of their spirit, they begin to feel forever forgotten by their God. If I could, I'll remind you of just a couple of the verses that we read together earlier. In Psalm 13, it said, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Here's the story. The story of Psalm chapter 13 is David now being hunted by Saul. You see, Saul had become jealous of David and had vowed to kill him. David had fled for his life and had spent time in caves and wilderness and sleeping out of doors, fleeing for his life from Saul, who now in a fit of rage and jealousy wants to put David to death. David was suffering a long-term, prolonged suffering of seclusion. Four times he said there in the first two verses of Psalm 13, he said, how long? He said, how long? He said, how long? He said, how long? He said, how long will I feel alone? And how long am I going to hurt like this? And how long am I going to feel this loneliness that I feel? How long? Four times in two verses, David says, how long? You see, sometimes that dark tunnel of pain is a long tunnel. We begin to wonder, do I see any light at the end of my tunnel? Others have felt this very same way. I stand in the presence of people who would say, Brother Owens, I've thought the same thing. I've asked myself and spoke out to God reverently, but I said, God, how long? You know, there are burdens that come our way, and they last a day, they last a moment, they last a week, they last a month. But boy, I'll tell you, sometimes when those burdens come and you say, how long, God, is this going to last? You see, let's say I preached a sermon about bearing your burdens back in August, and now here it is, it's mid-September, and you're thinking now in September of the very same burden that you thought on back in August, which was the very same burden you thought on back in July, which is the very same burden you thought on back in June when I preached a sermon like this. You say, Brother Owens, I've needed some of those sermons on bearing my burden for the very same burden over and over again. We love the thought that all burdens came and passed quickly, but I apologize to you. I can't explain why, but I can tell you this. I know they don't. I could see why David, I don't know exactly how long David felt this burden of seclusion and this ongoing burden that he faced, but I know he faced it, and I know it lasted long enough that four times he said, how long? How long? How long? I think we could look at the psalmist and see how he felt. I think we can look at this psalm and we can find out that he needed God in an extra special way. Psalm 13:1, it says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? David was to the point here, well, I think he felt forgotten. He feels like this has gone on forever. He said, I can't even see God's face. He said, you know, the thing first hit and I could see God's face, and then some time passed and it seems like I couldn't see God as well, and it just seems like this has gone on forever. Do you have a burden that you just feel like it's gone on forever? In verse number 2, he said, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? David is virtually saying here, as I talk to myself about my burdens, I depress myself. See what he said? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? He said, I get to talking to me about this particular burden, and when I talk to me, I sometimes don't know what to say to me because I thought it would come and pass, and it did not come and pass, and so I try to encourage me, but I know it's still there. David said, this burden produces a daily sorrow for me. Now, folks, we know that Christians are happy people. And I don't know that David is saying that all day long, every day, he's in this depressed stupor. But I do think David is saying, every day this thing comes to my mind and it nips at my spirit. And it's a long-term sorrow. And I face some of it daily. He said, my heart is sorrowful. Sorrowful. So there's sometimes my heart is full of sorrow over this issue. And he actually says here in verse number 2, it seems like the enemy is winning. You ever feel that way? You ever feel like old smutty face seems to be winning? You ever feel like, you know, we say greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, but every once in a while we're saying he that is in the world seems to be pretty powerful right now, and he that is in the world right now, it almost seems like he's winning. That's what David said. I don't know about you folks, but it sure encourages my heart when I see the great men and the great people of the Bible, and I find out they're human just like me and you. I'm sure glad that David was able to reveal some of those feelings that you and I have. In verse number 3, he says, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God, light mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I wonder if David's not saying here, I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like this thing's going to kill me. It's getting to me. It's daily. And I thought, you know, at first I could handle it if it were going to last a day. I thought I could handle it if it were going to last a week. But I've been at this for a while now. I've been out here in the wilderness. I've been hiding from Saul, who wants to kill me. And that's not how I planned this thing. I didn't think it was going to turn out this way. Now it's going on for days and weeks and months. And he said, sometimes I just feel like it's going to kill me. It's wearing me down. In verse number 4, he says, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He said, David said, I don't want my enemy to feel sure that he has won and I'm the loser. I don't want him to feel that way. And David said, I don't want to give the impression that it's getting to me, but it is. And I don't want the enemy to look at me and say, I see weakness. Now I'm really going to attack. David, hear what he said? Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I move. Move from what? Move from my faith in God. Move from my belief that everything's going to be all right. Hey, are you in a long-term situation of suffering? Do you join David this morning asking God, how long? How long? How long? How long? Do you feel like you have lived with your burden so long you can't remember its beginning and you can't see where you would expect it might end? You say, what's the answer? What's the way out? Well, I know this. When you read Psalm 13, we see David exposing a prolonged, painful situation that he's in. And then he tells us, well, you see Psalm 13, and just so you know, he wrote Psalm 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, which means this, whatever he faced in 13, he made it through. Why? Because he wrote 14. And so I've got good news for you. From the first two verses of Psalm 13, where he asked how long, four different occasions, somewhere between there and the end of the chapter, he figured out how to make it, because the next thing you know, we find him writing another psalm. So tucked in Psalm 13 is the answer for those that face prolonged suffering. And I'm glad God put it in there, and I'm glad that he let me find it. Now, I thought I was the first one to find it, but I'm sure everybody else in here found it a long time ago. I just happened to find this, and I said, boy, is that good. Boy, do we need sometimes a little instruction on how in the world do I make it when my suffering is long. We're better at suffering short. All right, God, if I have to go through this today, I'm going to hang in there. All right, God, this is going to be a rough week. Okay, guys, we're going to buckle down. It's going to be a rough month. Let's chuck it up. We can do this for 30 days. But then sometimes we look at it and said, I thought it was going to be a day, and it turned into two, and then into three, and then into four, and I thought it might be a week, and it turned into two, and then into three, and then into four, and I thought it might be a month, but it's been two, and three, and 4 months, and some would say, it almost seems, but oh, it's been years, and some have struggled with some things for years. Say, how am I going to make it? Our God tells us how to make it. Our God tells us how to make it. As I'm reading through Psalm 13, I get to verse number 5, and David says this. He's told us it's a long, drawn-out burden, and he begins to give the answer on how he made it through it. And he says in Psalm 13:5, he says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy." David said, "This is long, and it's heavy, and it's hard, but I am trusting in your mercy." I believe the word mercy here means I'm trusting in your loyalty and love and your devotion. Hey, when someone is merciful, especially in this situation, it means there's a loyalty, a love, and a devotion at the time when the object needs it most. In other words, David said, "God, I know who you are and that you're a merciful God, and I know you know who I am, somebody in need of mercy, and I'm just trusting in that mercy to help me get through this long-term struggle." In Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need." Now, I tell you, when I need God's grace and mercy for a day, that indeed is a need. But there are some times when I need his help because the burden is a long-term burden. And he said, "You go to God, and he will provide a mercy to help you in your time of need." David was saying, "Lord, I trust your love for me." Folks, listen, when God said he loved you, he meant he loved you. Stop debating it. Stop worrying about it. You see, David said, "I'm going to trust your mercy." A part of the definition of that word mercy, it is love. It is a loyalty. It's a devotion that God has promised to us. And I say to you, if you're going through long-term suffering, you better stop and say, "God, you said you love me. I trust you on it. I trust your mercy. I trust the love that you've given me. I trust your loyalty to me. I trust your kindness to me. I know you're a merciful God, and that knowledge right there will help me get through this." And folks, just so you know, God is a God of great mercy. God is a God of great mercy. God is a God of great love and devotion and loyalty to his people. Everybody knows you are a God of great mercy, and I too, God, am a recipient of that mercy. David had to talk to himself about this. You see, you do understand that when David was doubting, God was not. When David was lonely, God was right there. When David was wondering, God was stable. And folks, you and I just need to remind ourselves our God is a God of great mercy, and that mercy is present. David said, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. I trust that you're..." Hey, you say it's long-term, Brother Owens, it's heavy. Maybe this is what you need to do. You need to turn to God, and you need to say, "I trust you're even being merciful to me right now. I know you're merciful. I know I'm going through a hard time. But you said you were merciful. I believe you're merciful. And I believe there's even mercy taking place right now in my situation." You say, "But Brother Owens, I don't think it can get worse." Uh-oh. If I were you, I'd tuck that thought back in your mouth. I'd get rid of that thought right there. You better say, "It could be worse, and God, I believe right now you are being merciful." David said, "It's lonely, it's long, it's hard, but I have a belief right now, God, your mercy is already affecting my situation." Why? Because God promised mercy. Things could get worse, but right now you are holding worse back. Because I'm trusting your mercy. Now, folks, listen to me. You say, "I'm struggling, and it's long term, and it didn't go away after an hour, and it didn't go away after a day or a week or a month." Then you better look at it and say, "My God is a merciful God. My God, even now with what I'm facing, is being merciful." That's what David did. That's what David did. I believe that this issue of mercy needs to be approached with a certain propriety and humility by God's people toward the great God of the universe. For instance, I think mercy is turning to God and saying, "God, you owe me nothing. I deserve nothing from you. I ask for mercy not because I am good, but I ask for mercy because you are good. I deserve nothing. I'm just coming. And you're the God that gives to people that deserve nothing. See, the wrong attitude would have been David saying this. Hey, God, I'm David. I'm the Goliath slayer. I'm David. But you know who I am? You get me out of this. You owe me, God. No, you better go to God and say, God, I'm nothing. You're everything. I need mercy. Don't deserve it. Certainly want it. Haven't merited it. Just glad you're the God of mercy. See, it's nothing begging for mercy from him who is everything. See, David here is not trusting David's credentials. David here is trusting the mercy of God. And that's what he said. He starts out in verse 1 and 2, and David said, boy, this hurts. Boy, I'm lonely. Boy, I feel forsaken. Boy, and he says to God, and he cries out, he says, how long will this pain go on? How long do I have to run? How long do I have to hide? How long am I away from my family? How long am I going to hurt? How am I going to make it through this? He said, well, the first thing I better do is realize whatever I'm going through, God's mercy is already involved, and it could be worse, and I'm just going to praise God. It's not worse, and I am trusting the mercy of God. Now, if you'll start there, that'll get you down the path of success of bearing a long-term, long-time burden. David said, I will trust in God's mercy. Secondly, in verse number 5, David said this, but I have trusted in thy mercy. We just talked about that. Then he said, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. David, remember, he said, I'll trust in your mercy. He said, next, he said, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. Now, you have to understand something. David understood here that salvation came from the Lord, thy salvation. Thy salvation, God's the one that does the saving. You see, David, facing a burden, facing a heartache, one that didn't go away quickly, one that seemed to linger, and God knows, I cannot look past a pew or two that I see people that I know face long-term heartaches and long-term burdens. And I just know if you'll do what David did, it's going to help you. And folks, let's not let our burdens get us off track. Let's not let our burdens stop us from serving God. Let's not lose faith in our God. We better stop and say, I trust your mercy. You say, then what am I going to do, Brother Owens? I think if I were you, I'd rejoice in the salvation that God makes available to us. I think David said, I'm saved, and nobody can take that from me. I think David said, I'm going to heaven. Nobody can take that from me. David said, the Holy Spirit is sealed within me. Nobody can take that from me. David said, God is my Father. Nobody can take that from me. You say, for the old ones, I'm a teenager, I'm a child, and my daddy forsook me and left me and mama alone and all the burden and all the heartache. Let me tell you something, young person. If you're saved, your heavenly Father will never forsake you. It'll help you get through it all the way through your childhood and all the way through your teenage years and all the way through life. As you face the burden of being forsaken by a daddy or forsaken by a mama, you have a heavenly Father. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You can bear the long-time burden of being a fatherless child by just claiming your heavenly Father and his great salvation. David said, God's my Father. Nobody can take that from me. He said, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He said, I'm not going to hell, and nobody can take that thought from me. I'll someday walk on streets of gold, and nobody can take that from me. David said, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and nobody can take that from me. He said, I'm a child of God, and nobody can take that from me. He said, I'm on the winning side, and nobody can take that from me. I have eternal life, and nobody can take that from me. I have everlasting life, and nobody can take that from me. I'm a part of the family of God, and nobody can take that from me. I am justified in the eyes of God, and nobody can take that from me. When the rapture comes, I'll be snatched up to heaven, and nobody can take that from me. I am a recipient of God's miraculous, amazing grace, and nobody can take that from me. Though my sins were as scarlet, they've been washed as white as snow, and nobody can take that from me. Say, Brother Lewis, how am I going to make it long term? You can thank God you've got a long term salvation. No matter what comes, no matter how long you have to bear it, you're still saved. You're still saved. He said in Psalm 9:14, that I may show forth all the praise in the gates of the daughters of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The word rejoice means rejoice. In other words, I'm going to revisit the fact that I'm saved as often as I need to. There's some of you say, boy, this is long term. Your salvation is longer term than your burden. Your salvation is longer term than your burden. And with that in mind, if you will do what David said, he said, I'm going to believe you're merciful just in what I'm facing today. And I'm asking you to be merciful. And I am going to rejoice in the salvation that you made available to me, because I know that my salvation is going to outlast my burden. My salvation will outlast my heartache. My salvation is going to outlast this turmoil in my life. My salvation is bigger, it's better, it's worth more than all the burdens that I must face. Hey, get this though. I think David probably, just like you and I should, I think he could rejoice. He said, in thy salvation. I think David was able to rejoice in his own salvation. Let me tell you all something you ought to rejoice in. How about we rejoice in the salvation of others? You say, we're really going through it, Brother Owens. Rejoice about your salvation for a minute. Hey, husband, rejoice in your salvation. Now, won't you just give a little time to rejoice in the fact that your wife's saved? Rejoice that your wife is saved. Let that carry you for a little while. Then maybe you want to do this. Maybe you ought to rejoice that your husband's saved, ladies. Maybe you ought to rejoice that your mama's saved. Then if you have a little time, why don't you rejoice that your daddy's saved? Then if you can work it in, maybe you ought to rejoice that your son is saved. Then maybe you ought to rejoice that your daughter's saved. Then maybe you ought to rejoice that your grandson's saved. Maybe you ought to rejoice that your granddaughter's saved. Maybe you ought to rejoice that grandpa's saved. Maybe you ought to rejoice that grandma is saved. You don't have to just rejoice about your salvation. You can rejoice about mom's salvation and dad's salvation and husband's salvation and wife's salvation and son's salvation and daughter's salvation and grandma's salvation and grandpa's salvation. You say, how am I going to make it long term? Look, most of us know enough people to rejoice about their salvation to keep us going for the duration of the suffering, of the pain, and the long-term heartache. You've been in a Baptist church very long. You've seen all sorts of people get saved. Rejoice. Rejoice. God's still saving people. God's still keeping people out of hell. Rejoice, my brother's saved. Rejoice, my sister's saved. Rejoice, my son-in-law's saved. Rejoice, my daughter-in-law's saved. Rejoice, my father-in-law's saved. Rejoice, my mother-in-law went home. David said, how long? How long? I feel like I'm going to die. I feel like it's going to last forever. I feel like the enemy's winning. I feel like I'm falling behind here. What am I going to do? He said, you know something? I think I will just trust in his mercy. And then I will rejoice in salvation. I will rejoice in my salvation. I'll rejoice in the salvation of my family. I think he probably was able to rejoice in the fact that, okay, you and I, we could rejoice in the fact that our church sees people saved on a regular basis. You say, Brother Owens, my mom's not saved, my dad's not saved, my husband's not saved, or my wife's not saved, and I don't have a bunch of saved family. Hey, you're coming to a church that sees salvation enacted on a regular basis. Stop and rejoice that somebody, though you may not know them, somebody is not going to go to hell because your church has invested in the souls of men. Rejoice, Christian. Rejoice. Hey, I look around this auditorium. I know I've caught your tears. I know what you go through. And if God says salvation creates a rejoicing, I wonder if that's the reason. Maybe that's one of the reasons God keeps letting our church see people saved by the hundreds and thousands. What if he looked down and he said, you've got some burdens. There are folks that face it 52 weeks a year, and God said, you know what? You're not going to be able to rejoice about salvation unless I give you a dose of it. And since you've got 52 weeks of burden, I'll give you 52 weeks of souls saved to help keep you encouraged. We're talking about long-term burden. Long-term burden. Maybe it is that you have loved ones who were saved before they passed away. You ought to rejoice in their salvation because you will see them again someday. Their place in heaven is eternal. How long's your burden? Once you get saved, you go to heaven, and that's everlasting. That's eternal. You say, I need something to keep me going. Hey, those of you widows or widowers where you've lost a loved one and they're in heaven right now, I don't know how long your burden will last here on earth, but I will tell you how long your loved one will last in heaven. It goes on and on and on and on. Never-ending bliss and never-ending favor of God. Hey, that'll outlast your long-term burden. Now I see why David said, I'm going to rejoice in salvation. I'm going to trust in his mercy. He said he was merciful. He's being merciful right now. I depend on it. I trust my God. I am going to make sure that I lock in on the most important thing, which is salvation. I have it. My friends have it. My church has it. I'm getting encouraged already. Amen. Things may be tough for me, but I'm saved. I'm surrounded by saved people. That's the best news I've heard in a long time. Salvation is the greatest thing that could happen to a human being. And guess what? It happened to me. Get it? Salvation, the greatest thing that could happen to a human being. And it happened to me. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And nobody can take him away from you. Nobody. David said, how long? How long? It's killing me. It's dark. I'm lonely. I'm feeling forever forsaken. I'm stranded. When he shook himself and came to himself, he said, I'm going to trust in God's mercy. He said, I am going to rejoice in my salvation. Then, I seen here in verse number 6, he said, I will sing unto the Lord. I'll sing unto the Lord. Let me say to all of you, if you have long-time burdens, get your vocal cords ready. You're going to need to sing. You're going to need to sing unto the Lord. Now, I'm glad for us to sing unto one another. I'm glad for that, but I'm going to tell you something. If you have a long-term burden, you need to be singing, and singing often. God will be your audience. He'll listen. In Psalm 100, verse number 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I need the presence of God, and I will approach him in a song. I'll sing to him about him, and I'm going to sing. Because why? David said, if you're suffering long term like he was, he said, I'm going to sing my way through this thing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Yes, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Hey, what was David saying? David was saying, I've got to get through this, and I want to make it, and I want to take it, but it's drawn out. And I thought it was going to end last week, and it didn't. I thought it was going to end the week before. But I'll tell you what will get me through this. It won't be a vitamin pill. It's going to be the fact that I am going to sing of the mercy of God, and I'll sing my way through. See, singing heals the spirit. Singing heals the soul. Singing heals the attitude. Singing heals the heart. Paul and Silas felt the very same way. If you know the story, they were in jail. The psalmist in verse number 4 here of Psalm 13, he said, I'm going to sing of my Redeemer. I'm going to sing. Paul and Silas were stuck in jail at midnight. They were in jail. They were in jail for Jesus. The Bible says, you know what they did at midnight? They sang. Why at midnight? Well, I'm not exactly sure why at midnight. Maybe they were awake. Maybe they were tossing and turning over their dilemma. Can I tell you something? I know works. I know it works. You, some of you that can't sleep because of the burdens of life, let me tell you something. I know works. If I'm tossing and turning and my heart is broken, and somehow I can't get to sleep, I pick a song and I sing my way out of a sleepless depression. I challenge you to try it. I challenge. Now, not your song that you heard on the local rock station. That won't sing you out of your depression. You pick an old-time gospel hymn and sing. You say, doesn't Mrs. Owens hear you? No. She's making her own noise. I just got to sing lower than the snores. Sing. Hey, Paul and Silas, I don't know exactly what happened. I think they sang their way out of jail. Yeah. Brother Renison, if you're in jail, don't sing, buddy. Don't sing then. Sing. The psalmist said, it's long from the pain. And I thought it would go away, but it's not going away. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust that God is being merciful. Then I'm going to spend a whole bunch of time, as long as I need, as often as I need, and in regard to as many people as I need, and I'm going to remember salvation. Then I'm going to sing in the midst of the storm. Sing about your salvation. Sing that life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. Sing about heaven. Sing about in the sweet by and by. Sing about there's a land that is fairer than day. Sing about this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Hey, sing about your sins forgiven. Sing about what can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, my friend, if you've got long-term burden, you have to know how to deal with long-term burden. You claim His mercy. You exalt His salvation. And then you just start singing about everything you've got going for you. Sing about Jesus. Sing about Jesus. Sing that song. He is mine. He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. Long-term sufferers probably need to pick a song for the day and sing it. A song for the day. You say, I've got to face it again today. It's a heartache today. And I thought it was only going to last a day, but now it's been days and weeks and months and in some cases, years. What do? You wake up in the morning and you get you a song in your heart. Pick a song and sing that song all day long. All day long, just sing that song and sing that song and sing that song. Next day, get up and get you another song. The songs of God will carry you. You say, Brother Bowen, I'm down and I'm out. What do? If you just have enough energy to sing. Just enough energy to sing. I'm sure it works. I'm sure. What am I going to do? I'm going to claim His mercy. What am I going to do? I'm going to recognize and exalt His salvation. What am I going to do? I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Tell you what. Go to the Psalms. Many of you, let me explain something to you. You don't realize this. You say, I face burdens. Many, many people, including myself, when we face burdens and heartaches, we run to the Psalms. We run to them and we read them. Why? You say, oh, that encouraged me. Oh, how I needed that. Oh, what that meant to my heart. Oh, what that psalm meant to me. You understand what the Psalms are? They're songs. And all I'm merely doing is telling you something that you probably already know, but you need to stop and realize. When David said, I'm going to sing, he said, I'll sing a song. Do you know what Psalm 13 was? It was a song. He said, I'm singing myself out of this mess. I'm going to sing. Why? It's long term. It's not coming easy. Some of you, I don't want you to think about it, but I suppose I'll remind you, probably, when you wake up tomorrow, it'll still be there. I hope it goes away. I hope today ends the uphill climb for you. I hope today that it ends and you have peace in that area of life. But if you don't, get up tomorrow morning Pick a song and sing your way through the day. It'll carry you through the difficult times of life. Fourthly, and oh, how I love this point. He said in Psalm 13, verse number 6, he says, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. He hath dealt bountifully with me. We're going to talk about the bounty of God. But I have to give you this. It's a story about George from Mississippi. George from Mississippi, who was going to bed when his wife told him that he had left the light on in the shed. George opened the door to go turn off the light, but saw that there were people in the shed in the process of stealing his things. He immediately phoned the police, who asked, "Is someone in your house?" George said no and explained the situation. Then they explained that all patrols were busy and that he should simply lock the door of his house and an officer would be there when he would be available, but to cover the safety of the shed, they didn't have anyone. George said, "Okay." He hung up, he counted to 30, and he phoned the police again. "Hello? I just called you a few seconds ago because there were people in my shed. Well, you don't have to worry about them now because I just shot them all." Then he hung up. Within 5 minutes, 3 squad cars, an armed response unit, and an ambulance showed up. Of course, the police caught the people robbing him. They caught them red-handed. One of the police officers said to George, I thought you said that you had shot them." George said, "Well, I thought you said nobody was available at this time." Let me tell you something. David said, "I was going through this. I had to claim the mercy of God. I stopped and looked at salvation. I made sure that I sang." And then he said, "I turned and looked at the bounty of God." And let me tell you something, folks, in regard to the bounty of God. He always has been there for us and always will be there for us. You see, you may call upon the police, maybe be slow in arriving, but God didn't have to arrive. He never left you. He was right on the spot. Our God is a bountiful God. The psalmist said, "I am now going to stop and examine all that God has done for me." He said, "This is long term. And I thought it would go away after a day or a week or a month, but for some reason, this burden has lingered, and I'm in a long term battle, and it's going to take a little while to get through this. I'll claim His mercy. I'll exalt His salvation. I'll be sure that I sing. And then I'm just going to stop, and I am going to examine everything that He's done for me." In Psalm 116, verse number 7, he said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." In other words, he said, "I figured out a way to rest. I figured out how I can sleep, and I figured out how I'll get my rest through this burden. My God is my provider, and all I have to do is think about how He's taken care of me thus far, and I've got a hunch He's going to take care of me tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and go to sleep, get my energy up to face tomorrow." And folks, some of you that toss and turn and struggle continuously, it's about time for you to do what I just told you. You're going to have to say, "He's helped me before. I can't sleep tonight. My God is already in my tomorrow. He's there. He knows how to meet my need. I'm going to sleep. I'll meet you in the morning, Lord."
Yes, sir.
You see, when I'm feeling empty, I'm not. Satan lies to me and tells me I have nothing. I'm not empty, but I'm full according to God's goodness. When I'm feeling poor, I'm not as poor as what Satan would like to convince me I am. Satan lies to me about my poverty. I am actually rich in Christ Jesus. When I'm feeling forsaken, I'm not. He, God, and others love me. But Satan comes along and tells me, "Nobody loves you. There's no one to help you. There's no one that cares. There's no one that's interested." The devil tries to make us believe that. And David said, "I feel forsaken. I am running. I am hiding. I feel like I could die. I better claim His mercy. Look at my salvation. I better sing a little bit. And I better stop and add up everything God's already done for me. I better praise God for His value.
bounty. And folks, that's how David made it from Psalm 13, 1 and 2, where he said, how long, how long, how long, how long? And he went into Psalm 14, 15, and 16 and kept on writing. David knew how to get himself through the long-term burden. And he took note of the bounty of God. Sometimes we need to think of his bounty in regard to our past. Has he ever delivered you before? Yeah. It's amazing. And we all do it. He's delivered us over and over again. We get to the moment, something happens, and we're going, oh no, oh no. God's never let us down. He was there. But we forget. We've got to remember his bounty, that bounty of the past. He delivered me before. He's never let me down. He's never failed me. He's always come through. I felt hopeless before, and he cared for it. His ability to meet my need is strong as ever. He is the same God who brought me through the last time. He can bring me through this time. Sometimes we need to look back at the past bounty of God, and that'll get us through today. That's what David did. David said, Saul's out to kill me. Saul was the most powerful man. It'd be like having the president and all the president's secret service hunting you down to kill you. Because David was being hunted by the king and all the king's men. He said, I can't find any place where I'm safe. I can't find a mental haven of safety. David said, I'll tell you what. I've got to think of the bounty of God. I want to keep on going. I don't want this thing to destroy me. I want to make it. I want to honor God in my behavior. He said, you know what? I remember that day that I was attending to my father's flocks on the backside of the desert, and I remember the day that a bear came and tried to eat one of the sheep, and God gave me the strength. I was scared to death, and God gave me the strength, and I beat that bear with my bare hands. I remember a day a lion came and tried to take me out and tried to take one of my daddy's sheep, and I took him out too. And I remember the day when I faced Goliath, and everybody in the country was afraid of him, even the king. God gave me the power to handle it. And if God can give me that kind of power in the past, God's power and God's hand of power is available today. And if I made it yesterday, I can make it today. Hey, God's not changed. My courage is what's changed. Isn't that so true of us, though? You see, he said, I remember God's bounty. That past bounty. He said, but I remember the bounty that has been promised to my future. God's already there. I said this earlier. What do you face tomorrow? What do you face tomorrow? God's already there. So what's he doing? Taking care of business. With what? His mercy. Why? Your salvation. What am I going to do? I'd just sing if I were you.
Amen.
Tomorrow. His mercy tomorrow. Heaven is my future. In heaven there's no pain. There's no death. There's no separation from his bounty for all eternity. But listen, he's in my future. Future security. You know, did you know something? I'm saved today. But if I live into tomorrow, he's already there. I'm already saved tomorrow, too. If I live 2 weeks, I'm saved for 2 weeks. I'm saved. How long? For as long as long is. He's in my future. He's there. You know, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. My future is in good hands, and it's not with Allstate. So who? Jehovah God. David, as he's going through this long-term battle and these fears and all the things that he was going through, he said, I've got to stop and look at the bounty. I look at what God's done for me in the past. I look at what he's promised to do for me. And he's in my future already with supplies, and he's going to meet my every need in the future. And he said, well, maybe I better stop and just look up what's happened to me right now. I mean, if he was bountiful in the past, he's going to be bountiful in the future. He said, I'm going to guess that he's going to be bountiful today.
And that's what kept David going.
He said, let's see. I'm going to look at my haves and not my have-nots. This will help you now. Look at your haves, not your have-nots. Look at what you have, not what everybody else has, what you have. Look what God's done for you. Look at God's bounty. I have Jesus right now. Now we're sitting pretty, baby. I have Jesus. I have His Holy Spirit. I have the Heavenly Father now. I have His Word now. I have salvation now. I have food now. I have a place to live now. I have air to breathe now. I have people that love me now. I have my life now. I have my health now. You say, I don't have my health. You're not dead yet. I have my church now. I have my job now. I have my family now. I have water to drink now. I have my children now. I have my grandchildren now. I have my friends now. I have a pastor who cares about me now. Hey, when I'm feeling forever forgotten, I make myself take inventory about what God's done for me in the past, what He's going to do for me in the future. And if that be the case, I better stop and take a good old long look at what He's doing for me right now. He is merciful. I am saved. I think I can sing.
You see, that'll drown out my forgotten feeling. Got to just get rid of that feeling that I have of being forgotten. But I guess when we sing that song, God is so good, that'd help us. God is so good. He's so good to me. You've heard it.
You've heard someone say, God is good, and the congregation speaks back and they say, all the time. Preacher says, God is good,
and the congregation says, all the time.
God is good, God is good,
say it, everybody say it.
God is good, God is good. There's some of you, you better take the time every day of your life to say, God is good, and answer back to yourself all the time. He is always merciful. You'll always be saved. You can always sing. Why? Our God's bountiful.
Folks, anything happening to us, God knows what's going on. But I'm sure glad that David came along and said, how long? How long? You say, just got through one mess. Now another. We just got that bill paid and I thought we were home free. Now another.
We just faced a heartache. Now another. How long?
David said, I don't know how long, but I know what I'm going to do about it. Claim His mercy. I'll enjoy that salvation. I'll sing, and I'll look at how bountiful He has been in the past, present, and right now, and in the future. And I am then. Go ahead, and in a few days here, I'm going to start writing Psalm 14. I'll write Psalm 15 and Psalm 16. Psalm 17. Yes. Folks, there's some of you won't do anything beyond today unless you do what you've been taught today. Let's go on for God. I call it feeling forever forgotten. If you're here today and you're not saved, let me tell you something. If you die unsaved, you'll go to hell. The worst part about hell to me is not the fire. It is the fact that the Bible says you will be separated from God forever. Now, there is a true feeling of forever forgotten. Get saved. Get saved and spend an eternity with Jesus. Or stay lost and feel truly forever forgotten. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never been saved, we want to welcome you to the Savior. We offer to you this gift. It's called salvation. It's a free gift. It's from Jesus. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Brother Owens, I'm not saved? If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. If I died today, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that, but I want to know. Pray for me, Brother Owens. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Maybe I've been a little religious, but I've never trusted Christ. I see that hand, and I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand in the balcony, on the lower floor, anywhere in the building. You say, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. I need to be saved. I want that. I need that. I see that hand. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. Pray for me, preacher. And I'm going to in a moment. I'm going to pray for you. There are some of you who say, oh, preacher, I so long for that confidence and what you taught this morning. Look, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, you need to get born again. That's where that confidence starts. Let Him be merciful and save you. Not because you deserve to be saved, but because Jesus died for you, was buried for you, and resurrected for you. Then you can rejoice about the salvation that was given to you as a gift, and it's an eternal salvation. Hey, then you'll be able to sing in church and mean it. Then you'll stop looking at how your cup is half empty, and as a Christian, you'll start to see that your cup is half full. Suddenly, your perspective on life will change. Why? Because you'll have Jesus living inside you. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Who else would raise your hand? I've seen hands. You say, I'm not saved. If I die today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me, preacher. God bless you. And here's the next question. There are people under the sound of my voice, you're facing long-term heartache, long-term burden. You're asking yourself, how long? How long? How long? Well, today God has helped us to understand how to handle it. Maybe just for the sake of prayer, who here would say, preacher, pray for me. I do face a how long situation. I'd just like to have you pray for me today about it. Would you raise your hand and say, boy, hands everywhere. God bless you. God bless you. I'm so sorry for you. But I will pray for you before we get done. Hang in there. Hang in there. You can put those hands down. God's seen them. I believe there are people under the sound of my voice that you need to turn to God and say, God, I'm taking you off trial. I believe you are already merciful, and I know you'll continue to be merciful. Somebody here needs to do that because there's a separation between you and God about this. Go ahead and by faith claim His mercy. Go ahead and by faith say, I'm saved, and I know it. Go ahead and say, I'm going to sing my way through this thing. Somebody here needs to say, Lord, I've seen everything you've done for me. I'm sorry I've doubted that you could do it again. You're going to need this altar. Who here once again would say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. This sermon, there's something in it. It's going to help me through. God's spoken to me specifically, and you'll raise your hand again. There are hands all over the auditorium. If you need this altar, you come. If you're not saved in a moment, I want you to come. David said, how long? As your pastor, I cannot tell you how long, but I can tell you how to take the how long you must face. I'm sure of it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Choir, sing a song. If you need the altar, you come. If you're not saved, you come. If you're not saved, you walk up to one of the men that are posted at the end of the aisle and you say, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. We'll take the Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved, if you've never followed the Lord, it will be your baptism after your salvation. Come, we'll help you get baptized. Understand something. Getting baptized doesn't save you. Getting baptized is your being obedient to the God that did save you. Somebody here faces long-term heartache, long-term burden. You may need to come down here and say, God, I claim your mercy. I believe you're being merciful right now. I'm mad at you, God. I believe you're being merciful, and I think I want that mercy to continue. Not because I deserve something from you, God, but because you said you were a God of mercy. I'm asking that mercy apply to my situation. If you're not saved, you've got to come and get saved. If you're not born again, come. Let us take the Bible and show you how to be born again.
somebody here starting tomorrow to sing a song. Sing it all day long because that's the song that's going to carry through your long-term burden. Those of you that spend your time griping and complaining, you don't like your house, you don't like your car, you don't like your food, you don't like your clothes, you don't like your job, you're going to have a real tough time making it long-term. Because you make it long-term not by staring at what you don't have, but by looking at what you do have. You survive long-term burdens by looking at the bounty of God. Sometimes looking back at what he's already done, sometimes by looking forward at what he's going to do. And I can promise you, every last one of us have something that wish we could look right now. Right now. And if you ever say those words, you couldn't get words, you better apologize to him. For God may just prove you wrong. That you see it, you couldn't get words. If you've never been baptized, why don't you come follow the Lord in Peter's baptism? If you're looking for an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church, that's what we are. But I don't want you to come under false pretense. This church ain't sin. We love people. You heard a sermon today. Help people. You may come another time and hear me throw an ever-loving fit about the devil and everything that will destroy God's people and the kingdom of God. You'll have to be ready for it. So don't come under false pretenses. I want you to understand. An old-time religious church. That's the kind of church you're looking for. We invite you to come and hear our choir continue to sing. There are people yet using the altar. If you're not saved, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you now that you can claim everything that was preached this morning. You walk out of this building with a confidence in God that you can place all your confidence in. There are people still coming, there are people still being saved. Let's make sure we give them time to say, I'm down and I'm depressed. If I can take it all, I encourage myself. Well, I'm negative. People are getting saved here this morning.